What I want to talk to you today about is what I've learned from Bible commentaries and heard from different speaking. It's called the ladder of faith. Who has ever heard of what's called the ladder of faith? Has anybody ever heard of it? Oh, shame on you people. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, so if you have your Bibles, please turn there. And before I really get into what I'm going to be talking about, I want to ask a question. How many of you can think of a person in your life who is characterized by the attribute of love? Someone who is genuinely caring for people, and when you're around them, you just feel loved, like you're overwhelmed by the joy and encouragement and love that they communicate to you in small ways, maybe not even on purpose, but are very much like that. Can everybody think of a person like that? I have a few stories of people like that in my life. When I was 20 years old and I was considering going to Teen Mania's Honor Academy down in Texas, I was debating on whether I should go. Should I quit my job, you know, mess up the 401k, and, you know, spend a year of my life in a ministry setting, because I thought perhaps God was calling me into the ministry. And on my way to work, there was a car that was put out beside the road. It was a blue car. I forget what make and model, but I stopped and was looking at it and was considering buying it. And so I thought the car that I had was kind of, or actually I was driving a truck at that time, and I was thinking of selling the truck and buying a car so it'd be less money to spend while I'm down there and stuff. And lo and behold, the woman that was living at that house where the car was, I knew her son. He was the campus life director at the school that I graduated from, and came to find out that this was his mother. And also another one of her sons was a very well-known pastor in the area up in Middlebury, in Indiana. And I was telling her I had met her for maybe no more than 10 minutes, and she blessed me in a way that I just couldn't imagine. I was telling her that I was thinking about going to Teen Mania, and I was having doubts, and I didn't know what to do. And she just, after a 10-minute conversation, first time meeting me, she just said, "Let me pray for you." And so I was like, put out my hand, and she started praying a blessing over me. And I closed my eyes, and it was out in the lawn, somewhere by the car. And before I had opened my eyes, when she was done, she ended with an emphatic, "In the name of Jesus." And she reached over and kissed me on my cheek. You know, this was an elderly lady, so that she can get away with this. You know, a 2-year-old girl could do that to me and get away with it. An older 60, 70-year-old woman could do that to me and get away with it. It's always the middle ones that can't get away with that. But I wasn't offended or anything. It's just like, what just happened? I walked to my car and I started crying. I couldn't believe, I was just like, what kind of a person is this? This is amazing. I mean, she really made me feel loved in a most dynamic way. Another story. When I got down to Teen Mania, I met a guy by the name of Jason Rittman. He became my best friend, as he was my roommate and accountability partner, and he was in my core. And he showed love and kindness to me in ways that I had never been showed love and kindness from a friend before. I still call him now and then, even years after we're out of the internship. And he just, he always had this way of accepting me in my faults and being my friend and showing kindness to me anyway, in spite of it all. And it's that kind of a person that I want to talk to you about becoming today. It's part of the discipleship process. And I think that this list found in 2 Peter chapter 1 is very much a list. Now, I don't want to break it down to make it sound like it's a legalistic thing or it's a strict, rigorous thing or it's the only way. But I think it's very much has a lot of insight in how we can try to actively go about discipleship. But before I get to this list of things in the scripture, I want to have some things to consider. That once a person gets saved, they do not go directly to being characterized by love. I don't really think that's possible. It doesn't really mean that you can't show love to people. It doesn't mean that you can't be in love. It doesn't mean that you can't be loving or receive love. It's what I'm talking about is it's that picture of a person who's characterized by love, that just has this love that gushes out of them. It just, that God has really worked this love characteristic into them, and you can just feel it and sense it every time you're around this person. It takes a process. It can take years, decades, and sometimes a whole lifetime to get to that point. I know I'm not there yet. I'm excited about one day being there. I hope God will take me there. And I suspect that older woman was there, because she totally blessed me in a way that could never forget. Now, each item on this ladder of faith, and we're picturing it as a ladder that you're going to climb, and each item that is first is the foundation for the next. So you don't, and that's why you don't go directly to, you can't step directly on the first, on the top step. It's not really possible. You have to go through each step to get there. And when Reuben asked me if I would juggle for you today, I was like, oh, this is going to fit perfectly in my sermon. This is great. So I have a juggling illustration. I know some of my RBC friends are probably tired of me talking about juggling. And every now and then I find a random person to start telling them all the facts, and they're like, okay, is he done? And as you saw today, I can juggle five balls decently. I'm not the best at it, and I still drop now and then. But I have an overall goal of being able to juggle seven balls very, very adequately and be able to do a number of seven ball tricks. Now, let's say I never could juggle before, and I watch on TV some juggler that's juggling seven balls. And I go, wow, I want to do that too. Let's go buy seven balls and start juggling seven balls right away. It's not possible. I've tried this. I have to first, you know, you got to learn how to stand. You got to keep your back straight. You got to learn how to not bring your elbows out like this, and which is annoying. But you've got to learn how to properly throw one and then throw two. You've got to learn how to get a basic three-ball pattern first and then graduate to four, and there's a bunch of exercises with three to do for four, and a bunch of training exercises to do with four and three to do for five, and it goes on and on and on, and you master each level as you go. It's not possible to go to seven right away. It just isn't. And that, in the same way, is what I think is true about the seven virtues found in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, to lay the groundwork for our list that we're going to be considering, I'm going to read the verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And when I was at Teen Mania, they had us memorize verses 5 through, I think, 10. No, 11. I think it was 5 through 11. And I memorized it, and I was like, I noticed that in verse 5 it said, but also for this very reason. And it's amazing how you can read the beginning verses before that, kind of glance over it and not really think about it, and then you get to but also for this very reason, and go, wait a minute, did I even get what the reason was? And it's like, how dense can I be? I read this like five times, and I didn't get what it was talking about. And I'd read and read and read and read. Fine, all of a sudden it dawns on me, okay, this is the reason. Notice four things in the passage: divine power, all things, the great and precious promises, and the divine nature. So God, through his divine power, has given to us all things, everything that we need. It's in the past tense. It has been done already. We don't have to ask him to do it again. He's already done it. He's given, through his divine power, he's given us all things through and given us these great and precious promises. And I think that the great and precious promises are the reason for the list that we're going to go through today. These seven things to go through, the ladder of faith. And so that we can partake of the divine nature. And I think that that divine nature is the love at the end of the list. The divine nature is love, because we all know that God is love, right? It's kind of what he does. He is love. And at the very end of the list is love. And I want to talk about some of the promises. I looked up what I think are two promises in the scripture for us that we can count on, that if you don't trust in these promises, then you're never going to go through this process. You just won't. John 3:16. We've all heard this verse. I'll go ahead and read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise we can count on. It's part of the great and precious promises that are talked about in verse 4. And another one in Philippians. Paul says to the Philippians, "For I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." You can count on that. He began a good work in you. You're saved. If you believe in just these two promises, there's more than these two, but if you believe in just these two, you have reason to inspect the ladder of faith found in 5 through 7. And so the foundation for the ladder are as follows. Promises are given. Promises are accepted. Faith is the result. The purpose of the ladder is in verses 8 and 9. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. I think it's like short-sighted and even to blindness. So it's like, why? Why would you be short-sighted if you don't have these things? I personally think that if you go through these things, you end up with being characterized by love. And if you're characterized by love, you have that inworking, flowing, gushing out of you, that love. And you're always going to be grateful for what God has done for you. You're no longer going to be blinded. You're no longer going to be short-sighted. And so it's good reason to inspect every one of these seven rungs of the ladder. So each rung. So if you have the promises and you accept them and you have faith as a result, Peter says, add to your faith. This part of the scripture has to do with you contributing to your own growth. We know that God began a good work in us and will perfect it, but you've got to cooperate with that. If you don't cooperate with it, he's not going to really force it on you. He might somewhat here and there, because he cares about you and he loves you, but it's sort of a team effort. You know, but in the same way, I can't really do it all myself either. If I take a seed and I plant it in the ground and I'm tilling the soil and I water it and I put fertilizer on it and I do everything, I do all my part, ultimately, God gives the increase. You can't get the increase. It's God who gives the increase. It's a team effort. You plant the seed, he gives the increase. In the same way, you add to your faith these seven and God will give you the increase. And it takes a long time. So, add to your faith virtue. When I was at Teen Mini Honor Academy, this is the part of that I really am excited to share. When I was down there, they were excellent at promoting all of these virtues. I mean, they knew where to start. They knew where to start. Because they kind of assumed that we already had faith in Jesus. I mean, they presented the gospel and everything, but They knew that we needed to add to our faith virtue. Virtues like, you need to be a person of integrity. You need to grow in your faith. You need to become the best, like right now while you're single, plan on becoming the best parent you can be. Get a hold of your finances. Do all these virtues. And it was there that these virtues really took root in my life, in terms of I desired that these virtues would be true of me. It didn't mean that they were true of me yet, but I became caught up in wanting these things to be true about me, because they weren't. And I think that if you get this one down, if you really get this one down, these virtues, they sink down into your heart, they provide the motivation to seek after knowledge. Because if you didn't have this motivation, you didn't have any willingness to study or acquire knowledge. Now, I know that these seven words will probably can be applied differently, but I'm going to treat them as I see them work in my life. The motivation to seek hard after knowledge and to be wanting to pursue knowledge, because you found the virtue. Now, how do I do it? You go ask people. You seek people out in the body of Christ that are like, that you see these virtues are true, and it's like, how do I do this? And they might give you a book to read, or they might give you some counseling for it, or whatever. And you see, and you add to the virtue the knowledge to go with it. Now, in my life, one thing that's been characteristic of me as I've grown up is that every time that I learn something new and it impresses on me greatly, I have this knack of running around wanting to tell everybody about it. And I also, Andy's laughing as he knows this. And I had a tendency to start beating people up with my new knowledge. It's like, I have a nugget. Look at my nugget. Look at this. I learned this. You know, if you do this, you can do it too. And I would beat people, and I didn't have the self-control to go with it. Well, I had to get the knowledge first. Finally, all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm really offending people, and I see that they are walking away when I come in the room. What's wrong with them? No. So I had to add to my knowledge the self-control. I had to control myself. Like, okay, don't be so excited. And the thing is, what if I'm going around telling the knowledge to people who don't have the virtues sunk down in their heart? There's no motivation to care about it. Why would they care? They don't have the motivation for it. And they might be somewhere else on the list. Someone who's already learned it and is far past that is like, yeah, I've heard this before, and, you know, whatever. So the next one is perseverance. Now, if you look this up, I saw in a Bible commentary last night that this word means endurance or patience. And in my estimation, most people get caught up or stuck somewhere in the self-control, perseverance part. And they never really move past it. Because they're hard. They're insanely hard, right at first. If you don't have self-control or perseverance, the perseverance is that patience where you are, where you can honestly look at yourself and say, I'm not where I want to be. And it's okay. Because I'm on the right track, at least. At least I have faith. At least I'm trying, you know. It's okay to not really be at the top of the ladder. Some people never really get there. So once you've developed the patience, I think that sets up for the next one, godliness. Now, godliness is a word that has to do with both your attitude toward God and toward men. The attitude toward God is reverence. The attitude towards men is respect. There it is. Reverence toward God and respect for your common fellow man. And how could you possibly have that without patience? Because I know in my life, if I didn't have patience, I'd be irritated with God, and I'd say, man, why can't I get on with the vision of my life? Come on, let's go. And I need to wait and develop this godliness part. Now, I know I'm not there yet. Not totally. I would think I would put myself somewhere around the knowledge self-control part. Because I'm at college, I'm learning a lot of stuff, so I'm acquiring a lot of knowledge. So the godliness. You develop a respect for man and a reverence toward God, setting up for brotherly kindness. Now, the brotherly kindness, I believe that the word used here is in the Greek is Philadelphia. And it's a word that has to do with just being in general kind towards, well, your brother and your sister. And if you didn't have a respect for them, how could you be kind to them to the degree that what you're supposed to be? And if you get to this point, now you're set up for agape love. That love that is characterized in people that you get around them and it's just like, you can feel that they're just so loving. So that's the ladder. So now if anybody ever asks you if you've ever heard of the ladder of faith, your answer will be yes. And in conclusion, I'm done. In conclusion, I want to say two things. It takes time. It takes lots of time. Be okay with where you're at. And don't look in the mirror and be like, you know, you're not at the agape part. It's okay. God loves you. We all love you. I hope we all love you. And enjoy the process. Because it really is, it's a whole lifetime of discovering things and changing and growing, and enjoy it. You only have one life. The scriptures compare a life to a vapor. It's here for a while and it's gone. When it's gone, it's gone. Thank you.